The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Reel Down on Paddle and Fin. And tonight I have special guest host Jimmy. You know, he's an entrepreneur with his own business, so sometimes things can be tough and he has to work over. But tonight I have co-hosting with me, the one and only from the Chasing Tide, also on Paddle and Fin, our saltwater show, Dustin Nichols. How you doing, man?
Oh, hanging in there, man. Just wrapping up a long weekend of night shifts and mixing a tournament in between and all that good stuff. Got some days off lined up. My son's birthday this weekend coming up, so I'll take advantage of a few vacation days. I don't have to go back to work until Sunday. So
there you go.
The wind is it hasn't slowed down. This is one of the windiest springs on the Texas coast. I've seen it since I've been here. Some of the old salts are saying it's the windiest in over 30 years. So, yeah, the wind is blowing and blowing and blowing. It will not stop.
Man, I'll tell you what. I've seen your videos. You've been pedaling and torpedoing around that new Gnar, hottest kayak around right now.
Yeah, I've got it rigged up pretty good. It's pretty easy to rig the foot control steering in that thing. It's got a little kick out, so it pre-molded into the kayak itself. I mean, it took me less than an hour to run the tubing and I did stainless cables and rigged up the foot control 90-degree Yak Attack mounts, and it doesn't get in the way of the in-hole rod storage and everything. It's good to go, man. It's I just got a few adjustments for the trim and stuff just to kind of dial in, and I think we'll be good to go.
That tri-track that they have on there, that really is like just amazing. It's crazy it took that long for somebody to come out with that.
It's pretty neat. You can rig all different directions. You can recess your cables and stuff from your graphs, electronics, your lights. You can put LED light strips in there and have like cool, like strobes, like dance floor, dance party if you want to.
There you go.
Getting carried away there. But no, it's pretty
neat. They have that kind of stuff in the Bay Area. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
But all right. Thanks for being on with me, man.
Yeah, man. No problem. Thanks for asking.
Tonight we have on... it seems like been doing this for 3 years now, and this might be like the last person I've had. You know, you have like a list of people you want to have on, had everybody on except for this man right here, and happy is able to come on show with us. And here he is, Gene Jensen, the Fluke Master. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good.
Yeah, I guess so. I've got them big, nice trophies in the back.
Finally got some hardware.
Yeah, those trophies are legit, too. I mean, Bass has, like, the killer sharp ones, and the Hobie ones are great, but I don't know. It's hard to beat those KBF ones.
Man, yeah, Ketch makes them, and they're freaking sweet. I mean, the main body of that's four Ketch boards that are all laser-etched with sponsors and that kind of stuff. It's just cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they do a mighty fine job of that, Duke and all them over there at Ketch. Yeah, you know, quality boards and definitely quality trophies for sure.
Yep.
No doubt.
Cool. Well, Gene, if people somehow don't know who you are, can you just tell them who you are, I guess?
Well, my name is Gene Jensen. I've got a YouTube channel called Fluke Master. Don't fault me for the name. It was 2003 name I made up for the forums back in the day. So I've been involved with social media and that kind of stuff since about that time. So, and it kind of stuck, but, I've got YouTube channel and Fluke Master across the board on all social medias, including some new ones that aren't even, people don't even know about yet. And yeah, dude, I love to fish. I love to teach people how to fish. My God-given calling is to teach people how to fish. And so that's my goal.
Well, I'm sure Dustin too, but me, I don't know how many hundreds of hours I've spent on YouTube watching your videos. It's gotta be weird. Like I know on social media, I'll meet somebody, I mean, just from doing this and, you know, it doesn't have nearly a reach that you've had, and I'll meet somebody and they, you know, it's kind of like they've spent so much time listening that they kind of feel like they know me. Man, it's always weird to me. I can't imagine how many times that happened to you. People feel like they've watched so many of your shows. It has to be like they think they're friends and you're like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, it is. Anyway, I had some bikers pull up next to me as I'm walking out of the out of my breakfast restaurant, and one of them had seen my truck and jumped out, and he was a huge fanboy. He was about 6'3", 250, 260.
Oh, Hell's Angels.
Yeah, dude, he's all fanboying on me. But what gets me is when people hear my voice and they recognize my voice from a distance, and then they come and I'm like, that freaks me out. I'm just, but it's pretty cool. It's not the reason I do it, but I call it a side effect to what I do. Yeah. And I've always known that it would, even in the beginning, that could be a possibility if it was to take off. But it's one of those things where, you know, again, my goal is just to teach people. I want to reach one person at a time and go from there. So,
and so, something else we all have in the common, we all served in the military. You were in the Army, and Dustin in the Marines, and me, you know, in the Air Force, if you can call that the military. But yeah, so, but I was thinking that there might be something to that, like people who were in the military for the percent of people that have been in the military, and the odds of all three of us being on show at the same time and having been in the military, there's got to be something to that.
Yeah, I was in the Air Force too.
Oh, were you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had a fake name and rank so I could be on the Hawaii Air Force soccer team.
Wow.
Because I was a goalkeeper and a dang good one. I played I played all the way up to professional level before I went and joined the Army. So
what year was that?
Okay.
And that was, I was in the Army from 96 to 02. Okay, so I'm 96. Guessing it was probably
you were 99.
Schofield? I was at Tripler and then went to Schofield. I was at X-ray tech and got to know some guys because I used to go to Hickam and eat all the time.
I was at Kaneohe Marine Corps Air Station for 3 years. All I did is surf on my lunch breaks, and I would go to the dining facility because our chow hall was crap. Marine Corps chow.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I'd go to skate park at Hickam and go eat at their food.
Yep. So they made me, in order to be able to play for them, they made me a fake rank and name. I've got a trophy around here somewhere that says has the Air Force and so on and so forth. I thought it's hilarious. I wasn't in the Air Force, but yes, I was.
I was in the same time, but I never got Hawaii. I tried.
I
went through there a couple times, but
you got to volunteer to go to Korea, and they think you're crazy, and then they send you to Hawaii. That's my excuse.
I was in Korea for 2 years.
I
tried to go to Hawaii and got Korea.
That's funny.
I got some Okinawa time, and that's about it. And some of the other stuff. I was in 89 and 93.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, sir. Yeah, good stuff over there. I loved Hawaii.
All right, so the reason we're having you on is you won the KBF on Laurel River at Lake in Kentucky. Never even, it's crazy. I'm in Alabama. I've never even heard of that place. Can you kind of give us a rundown of what it is and how it lays out?
Well, hadn't heard of it before it was announced. It's on the Cumberland River.
Okay.
And so, but it's way up the Cumberland River. And it's a highland reservoir. So I'm sitting, the weirdest thing, I'm sitting 3/4 of the way back a creek in 110 feet of water pitching to the bank. You know, it's just the weirdest. I'm not good at those kind of lakes. I was not looking forward to fishing in at all. It's super clear. In most places, they'd had quite a bit of rain prior to us getting there. So in their terms, locals terms, it was muddy. I could see 2 feet.
That's pretty okay. good in some places.
And I was like, whatever, shut up. So yeah, it was a really cool reservoir. It didn't have a whole lot of bait fish. It's a Corps of Engineer lake. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along if I get an opportunity. But so it wasn't a super healthy lake for numbers wise, because the Corps of Engineers, their lakes are all flood control. They don't care about the fishing, and whatever happens, happens. And that was part of my game plan going into day one and day two was what was happening at the time. So, but yeah, it's a really cool lake. And it's got smallmouth and largemouth and spotted bass in it. Okay. And you can find largemouth and smallmouth in the same spots. And it's just, you know, just pretty neat.
Yeah. Sounds like fun. Get the slam.
Yep. It
looks like I'll go over the numbers here. And we also invited Tim Isaacs on, but he didn't have internet where he's staying at and helping out his mom. So he wasn't able to be on with us, but we did invite him. Day one, Tim Isaacs won that one with 86 and a quarter. You were in second with 84 and a quarter. And then Eric Cormick with 83. Day two, you came back and won that with 84 and a half. Tim with 82. And Todd with William Stunts with also with 82 in third place. And then you ended up winning the Pro Series with 168 and three quarter. Jimmy McClurkin with 162 and three quarter. And the man himself, Jody Queen, with 157. So, yeah, second, first, and first. That's I guess that's why you got three trophies in the back there. But
yeah, they're there somewhere. Yeah,
that weekend did not suck. So it sounds like it was you know, not the best fishery, but somewhere different. That's interesting. You know, somewhere that's definitely cool. But yeah, the numbers, at least for the people at the top, did well. So it wasn't too bad, I guess. But it's always a little deceiving whenever you see the people at the top and then you see the people at the bottom. You know, you don't usually look down there, but yeah, tell us about your practice.
The practice was okay. I kind of, my last four tournaments have been horrible. I mean, I did okay down in Florida in one of the trail series and that kind of stuff, but I would get in my head too easy. And I would, at Gunnersville, I know how to find the mega school. So I found the mega school in Gunnersville. Well, the day before the tournament, they finished spawning and they were gone. Murray, I found the mega school on a rock pile, and the night of the tournament, it warmed up enough for them to move up, and they moved off of that spot and they were gone. Mm. And so I told myself with this tournament, I'm going to hit every boat ramp that I can in 2 days, and I'm going to go fishing and try to get an idea of what part of the lake fits me the best. And so I did that. I just was running and gunning, you know, motor guide on high, just going. And throwing all kinds of stuff. My biggest search bait was a bull glide, old 8-inch bull shad bull glide or whatever the size is. I think it is an 8-inch.
Just to look at them to get them to come.
Yeah, up. I just wanted to see them. Yeah. You know, whether they come up and hit it or not. The smallest fish I saw actually was the only one that hit the bait. But they would come up out of the trees. There's flooded timber back in pockets and that kind of stuff. They'd come up and they'd look at it and they'd go back down. I just wanted to see what quality of fish were in the area. And we do that on Chickamauga with glide baits, you know, and that kind of stuff all the time. And so I kind of kept track of that. And then the ones I caught, I measured, made sure I kept track of what size they were. But really going into day one, I found out in practice that there was a shad spawn going on because my lazy butt got up the last day of practice early and got out on the water, because every other day I don't. And that's stupid of me. But I got up and I actually got out on the water and noticed a shad spawn. And so that changed a little bit of my game plan about where, you know, what I'm going to do in whatever area I choose. There was a bass spawn going on. And the Monday before the tournament is when I showed up. I fished for a couple hours. The lake was way high. And from Monday to Saturday, it dropped 2.5 to 3 feet.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the Corps of Engineers dunked it. And so the reason I say that is because Monday, the bass, the largemouth were spawning. They laid eggs Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Tuesday, the lake started to fall and the females moved out and the males were guarding the beds and the water left the beds and the eggs died. but the males were still on the bank all the way through Saturday, through the tournament on Saturday. The males were on the bank and they were guarding their nest, waiting for a fry to hatch, you know, and they never hatched. And so that's why you see a lot of 14, 15s and 16s on the board, is because the fish that were shallow were those males that were waiting for fry that weren't going to come around. And then Saturday they backed out. So, you know, and I told the guys that, in Kentucky, the guys that were part of the city or whatever, the city that we did in Corbin, Kentucky, I told them that. I said, look, the Corps of Engineers killed one full bass spawn and the shad spawn. The only shad eggs that are going to survive are going to be the ones that are on the floating docks. And there's only two marinas with floating docks and no other docks on the lake. Mm. And so if they had just waited 48 hours to drop the lake, none of that would have happened. And so this year's, you know, and it's just sad to see, but you can't get the government to care. We've done that with Clark's Hill, and I've done that with a bunch of other lakes that I've been on. Clark's Hill, I fished for 15 years. And in the beginning of a meeting of the Corps Engineers, the first thing they're going to tell you is we don't care about the fishing and we don't want to talk about it. Hmm. And so that's just something we deal with here in the South with Corps of Engineer lakes.
In that lake, is it of power generation also?
There is a dam. I don't know if it's a power generating dam. I really didn't pay much attention, but I would imagine it would be.
Probably would be.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah,
it's pretty large.
Yeah, but that was amazing, though. That's the first time I've ever seen the males guard those beds for 5 to 6 days waiting for fry to show up, and they just kept going down and going down. You know, they would back off as the water gone. And I caught all my fish on day one on the fluke. And
of course.
Well, I haven't thrown one in 2 years, maybe three. And so I saw them shallow. And matter of fact, I'll show you. I don't know if that was one of your questions about what baits I was using, but
yeah, of course.
When you when I'm talking about a fluke and the way I rig it for shallow, fast jerking and that kind of stuff, I'm really, really specific. And I actually made a video the day before, or filmed a video the day before about it. And it'll be out here probably next week. But I throw it on a medium fast action bait caster, and it's a weightless fluke. 15-pound test fluorocarbon all the way to the leader's fluorocarbon, and then a high-speed reel. This is an 8-1-to-1 13 fishing Z-slide. It's got those Z-bearings that make it really smooth, really easy to cast light baits. But the swivel is a number 5. Okay. Let me change the settings on my camera real quick. Hold on a second. It'll help you. All right. So the swivel, did it do it? I didn't hit the right button. And I just turned myself off. There we go. All right. So did it do it again? There we go.
There we go.
All right. So the swivel is a number 5. Okay. And then I have a 14 to 16 inch leader. Going to take a second. I turned off my auto focus. Give me a second.
The man's high tech. He's got better equipment than I do.
I know, and it usually works great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you live stream a lot too.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So I just got to figure out what I did wrong because I was hitting a button I couldn't see.
Oh, it's okay.
There we go.
There you go.
All right, so
14 to 16 inch leader. I don't go any longer because that swivel will actually impart action in the fluke as it's falling. And then a Gamagatsu EWG. These are the G Finesse light wire ones. They're G Finesse EWGs. And that also makes it a lot easier to set the hook. If you use a standard EWG out of a kayak with a medium, you know, medium power rod, you're rarely going to ever get a really good hook set in that fish. And that's critical. Now, if you look, you see a little white dot. Let me get it focused on my fingers real quick. All right. You see that black dot in here?
Yeah.
On the fluke, that's a tungsten nail weight that I've cut. And I cut it just perfect to where it fits at an angle going towards the head, from the back towards the head this way. And I actually put it in before I put the hook in. I put it in this way. And that's all on the video. But what this does is it causes that fluke that when you're jerking it, you'll jerk it and it'll make really long, really wide darts. And then when you pause it, it'll pause on the upswing. It'll hesitate. And then it'll start to fall and spiral down. And the reason it starts to spiral is that swivel is pulling it that direction, pulling it into that spiral. If that leader's longer, it won't spiral. If it's shorter, it will just fall straight down. And so this is from many, many years of playing around with these things. But so that I tried it different ways and things like that. That spiral, that hesitation and spiral triggered every single bite that I had on day one, and they would eat it. I mean, straight up eat it. And then it's just a matter of just setting the hook hard and bringing them in. I covered the bank. I probably caught 25 fish, or actually 22 fish, if I remember correctly, on my counter. And the big smallmouth that I caught on a shaky head, which was a Warlock. Yeah, Missile Baits Warlock. And I love this thing, but I don't love it with trick worms. It's just for some reason I have a hard time getting a hook set with a Warlock head on a trick worm. So I dug through my box and my bag, and I'm like, I'm looking for it. And I had the Swamp Crawlers in Green Pumpkin, and I dipped the tail in JJ's Magic Chartreuse, and I started throwing it. Wasn't missing any fish, and it was just great. So in the afternoon when the sun got up, I'd move out on a point, on longer points, and I'd start throwing that thing around and live scoping fish. And day one, I caught that big smallmouth, 18 and something. I can't remember how big she was. Literally right behind a bass boat. The bass boat was there throwing an Alabama rig, and I just waited for him to leave. And when he left, I pulled in and came in right behind him, threw shaky head, caught that thing. Broke my prototype rod. I had a 13 fishing prototype that we were testing out. Super, super lightweight, medium power spinning rod, and fought that thing in on one guide and got it in. So that was no fun. But ran back to the truck, changed out rods. I wasn't too far from the ramp. It was about a 15-minute run to the ramp. Put it on the trailer and went to my next spot and put in at a marina. And then it just gets crazy. I started bank fishing. And so this will be on the video. I put the boat in, and in KBF, you can get out and fish out of the bank as long as you launch your kayak. So I launched my kayak and I went all the way around the marina, which is about a half a mile run because that marina was huge. Went all the way around the backside and tied my kayak up to one of the docks on the marina so I could see it from where I was going to fish. Because down in this one, off of this one embankment, right in front of the marina offices, was a bunch of those males guarding fake beds. And I had seen them, a couple other competitors had seen them, but they didn't think about going and catching them during tournament day because they wouldn't let you get a boat into that stretch of bank, but they'd let you bank fish. Now, I went into the office. I said, "Hey, do you guys let anybody bank fish over there?" And they're like, "Yeah, no problem. It's no big deal." So I'm like, "Good."
Wow. So
that's why I swung over there. So I'm sitting 15 feet above these fish. And the biggest one was, I thought, over 20 inches because of that height and stuff like that. A little bit of growth. Flipped in. Couldn't catch her on a rage bug. Switched over to a Z-Man. What's their straight tail? gosh almighty. It's
mag fatty or
The fatty. I just had fatties. I didn't have any mag fatties. Switched over to a flat fatty, threw in their second cast. This thing bit. I set the hook, and then I'm sitting here looking down riprap 15 feet deep, wondering how in the heck I'm going to get this fish out. And so between me and her was, or me and the fish was an area that was just dirt and gravel. So here goes Gene, big old fat guy, sliding down on his butt with 15 people on the dock watching, sliding down on my butt, reeling, chesty cam going, and I reached down and lipped her and climbed back up the hill and went over to the kayak and measured her. And I did that a second time. I caught another one about 16 inches, and those both were critical for that first day.
In KBF, do you have to go back to the kayak?
The kayak has to be in the picture.
Yeah.
And so I just go back, sit down on my kayak, and do what I got to do, you know. So,
but hell, yeah, it was worth it, though. It worked
out. Oh, yeah, totally. I wished it was 20 inches, though. I was like, I was a little disappointed. But then went out and I caught a couple of more. But that was day one. It was a lot of fun. But
I've got a bunch of questions. Like, yeah, I usually don't throw a fluke that much because of the hookup ratio for me has always been so low. But you saying that lighter wire hook makes that makes all kind of sense. How do you choose your colors? That's you had a white ice there.
White ice.
I see people throw pink and white and white ice and. Guillermo won Pickwick on a black one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand color selection whenever it comes to flukes. What are your thoughts on that?
If I'm fishing a farm pond, I'm throwing watermelon red or green pumpkin. And if I'm fishing any other lake, it's white ice. It's just,
there you go.
I throw white ice. And I might have a pearl if I don't have a white ice, but I'm always, you know. So it's I'm not real picky into colors. I usually am more picky about action. I want to see the bait. I want to see the, I'm going to fish it to where I can see the fish grab the bait. Because I work it to, in a way where if I don't see the bait, I'm going to miss the fish 99% of the time.
Because of the swivel.
Yeah. Just because of the swivel. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, that was, and Matt, actually that led into day two too, cause they weren't hitting the fluke in day two, but it was pretty, you know, that was a, that's the biggest thing is, and another thing is make sure your flukes are straight. You know, you get them in the package and they've been crammed up, stuff like that. Well, one of my older fluke videos, I showed how you boil water and you dip them in there.
Yeah.
Yep. And I did that to two packs of flukes before the tournament, straighten them up and then set up in my rooftop tent, putting tungsten weights in each one of them in one bag. So I didn't have to do it on the tournament. Yeah, so
ready. Definitely saves time. What target depth were you doing? Were you using throwing that fluke in? You know, 2 to 4 foot, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I was actually looking for a type of bank, an angle. I wanted it. I didn't want it to be too flat between the bank and the drop off.
Okay.
So I wanted it to be, you know, 5 to 6, maybe 7 feet. Any more than that, there weren't any fish there. And so I stayed in those, I would say 45 degree banks that went up and had a little top on them. And those bass were up in those tops. There were trees in the water the first day, just barely. And they'd be up under those trees. In practice, those trees were way in the water and you could flip in there and catch fish. But the water just kept dropping. I mean, lots of inches every night.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They had to.
Well, yeah. Go ahead and tell us about your day too. Cause that so, you got on a shad spawn, right?
Yep. Day two was very interesting. I went to the marina that I put in the second day, you know, at the end of the day or about noonish. I went and put in that marina. I said, you know what? I kind of know the area that I want to fish of the lake. And it's about 30 minutes away or something. I was like, I'm going to put my motor guide on high and I'm going to run for 30 minutes. Cause we've got that 30 minute window between launch and cast. And then I'm just going to stop and fish. And I ran 30 minutes and I stopped and there's this little creek arm to the north of me. And I was like, I can cover that creek arm about 2.5 hours. I said, let me go in there and start throwing. And when I'm covering water, I can only cast to my left. I'm horrible with hook sets and casting and accuracy to my right when I'm actually standing up in my kayak with the motor going. I can do it, but I'm just a lot better to my left. So I start on the left side. And I threw a fluke a few times and I was like, you know what? It's too dark. I can't see my fluke. I'm not going to be able to get a hook set. So I grabbed a greenfish tackle swim jig. And I guess this is like glimmer blue and it had a Z-Man paddle tail on it that just matched. And I'm like, oh, that'll work. So I grabbed it, started throwing it, and got bit right away, and got bit again, and got bit again. I had my limit before 6:30. Tournament started at 6. And that big one, that big smallmouth, was my fourth fish. I just was throwing it, and I was like, man, they're really hitting this. Well, the big one was fun, but I lost one about the same size right after that in the same area. And that would have closed it early. So because of that, I had to grind a little bit more, but, you know, with a swim jig, you've got a positive hook set. It's real, you know, you're not going to lose a whole lot of fish. But as the sun got up, I started throwing the fluke, and I had two small bass come up and just go and spit it right back out. Just suck it in and spit it out. And that told me to put the fluke down. I was like, I'm done. I'm just going to park it and keep fishing the swim jig. And so I fished the swim jig, caught several more. The creek arm probably wasn't the best. That creek arm was a good choice for the fish, but for the shad spawn, it ended early because of the sun angle, and the sun hit most of that creek pretty quick. So I swung out and went to one of the points that were where the river swung up against the point. And I'm sitting in 125 foot of water, throwing up to 12. I had my fluke on. I had my fluke out on this one too, because I went to make a cast and my fluke hit my camera in the back. And wow, Here's a big bird's nest. Whew. And I'm like, crap. So I start picking it out. And as I pick it out, a school of giant smallmouth start jumping up next to me. And I'm like, all right, what am I going to do now? And so I just watched them while I'm picking out this bird's nest, because I had fluke in the water. I had water line all over me. So that was a lost opportunity. But I ended up catching a couple on a shaky head off of that point, and then just kind of grinded the rest of the day. I needed one more big one, you know, 16-inch pluser. Why am I so blurry? There we go. I don't know what's going on with my focus. But I needed one more 16-plus incher to catch back up and to pull ahead. And I went along this on the same creek, right straight across from the point where I caught that big smallmouth later in the day. There was a long point that stuck that was kind of at an odd angle, but it went straight out towards the mouth of the creek. And I went along that point with live scope, and I saw a stump with one fish on it. And I threw, and it was about 12 and a half feet deep. I threw my shaky head out, drug it up there, and I just felt the thunk, and it just started to swim off. And that was that other big one that closed it. And
single fish.
Just single fish on a stump. You know, and then after that, it was all 14, you know, sub 14 inches, just kind of messing around on points. Then it got too hot and I was miserable, and it was time to go. It was about an hour left in the tournament. I had lost all focus just from sweating to death. But
yes, it heated up pretty good.
Yeah, the wind completely died, and it was in order to get any wind, I had to turn that motor guide on high and just run around and run from point to point.
What was the water temp in the areas you were in?
Yeah, the boat traffic got crazy too. Yeah. But you know, I knew that area was going to be good because I had pre-fished south of that a little bit, and there was a lot of fish in the longer creek. But I thought that Tim Isaacs had fished that creek the first day, so I didn't go down it. And he hadn't, but one of the other competitors had, so I still didn't go down that creek. But it was fun, man. I had been beating myself up over the last, you know, three tournaments. Gunnersville was horrible.
And that's your jam too.
My lake. Dude, it's my lake. And I was on, I mean, amazing fish on Gunnersville. I was catching 20s, multiple 20s every day on this big flat. And then I left it alone for 2 days, but just would go back and check it and shake fish off. And they were there. You know, I had Corey Dreyer pulled up next to me. He's like, dude, is this really that good of a spot? Cause I was guarding it the whole 8 hours of the last practice. I didn't let anybody fish it, not even bass boats. And I'm like, yeah, dude, make three or four casts and shake them off. And he made four casts and got three bites, and they were all good ones. And so they were there. And then first day of the tournament, they were done spawning. They were gone. And the flat was so close to the creek channel, which was so close to the river channel. It didn't take them long to get gone. So I was grinding for males the whole day, and I just, you know, it sucked. So to do something, do good at this tournament, it was good. And this was a tournament, like I said, and it was kind of an odd tournament because it had been added about 2 months ago. And so not a lot of people heard about it. Not a lot of people had to take off work to go do it. But it was fun, man. It was a good tournament.
Well, it got you turned around, place you've never been before, and I'm sure your season will go better from here. You're too good angler to, you know, to have that many bad events in a row.
Yeah, and I'm going to Utah to fish against Cody next month. Oh my goodness,
Cayman.
Gonna go fish against him.
He's legit, man.
Dude, yeah, he's legit.
Young little guy. He's got the best name in kayak fishing.
Yeah, him and Henley, man.
Henley, Cody.
Him and Henley. I told Henley I was going to go over there and slash his tires and get it all over.
Pine View, right?
Do what?
It's a Pine View Reservoir.
Yeah, Pine View Reservoir. That's another one I never even knew existed.
That one myself.
Yeah,
it's a little. It's a haul, but definitely look at that one. I saw that Laurel River pop up on the schedule, and I was just like, I never even heard of it. Like you were talking about earlier. I was like, man, where in the world is this place? And I looked at it in Kentucky and I was like, I don't know if I can make that one.
Well, my oldest son, Jake, lives in Provo. So I'm going out there mainly to, you know, to see him and be able to fish a tournament at the same time, be able to write it off, you know, write off the travel.
Have you ever been there before?
Not to Pine View. I've been out. I mean, my mom and dad are from Brigham City, Utah, and that's where my family's from. Oh, so man. Yeah, I've been out there many, many times growing up.
Beautiful.
So I love it out there. But if there was a place that had Southern hospitality and Utah weather, it'd be the perfect place to live.
I hear you.
No doubt. Get rid of this heat and humidity. I'm good.
Yep.
Yeah. It's getting hot this week, too. I'm like, this spring's been so nice and so, like, the weather has been so good. And this week is going to be the heat. So, yeah, it is what it is. Yes, sir.
Yep.
We live down here. Well, I mean, we don't even live where Dustin lives. It gets real hot down there in Texas.
Yeah, we're having mid-90s already. It's one of the hot Mays. We had one about 3 years ago where we had like 15 days that hit 100 in May. Normally, you have a hot May, then the rest of the summer isn't quite near as bad. So hopefully that's how it's going to pan out.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
There we go.
Sure.
All right. Well, I mean, congrats on the tournament. I don't know. What else say besides that? You went there, you sacked them up, and you got all three trophies, and now you're back at the house. I like it.
Yep. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Tiring, but it was a lot of fun.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why Midway USA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Cool. It definitely made the angler to your points interesting too.
It did, because I had stopped paying attention to it because I was so down on myself. I was like, I don't even care anymore. But it did kind of. Kind of put a screw in
a little bit,
KBF is just three events in the national championship, right?
I think so.
Yeah, or the Trail Series championship that's like double points, or I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, I don't really pay much attention to it till it's about to start. So, a lot of things change, and that's something we're going to address here in the next year's the changes. So,
there you go. Well, man, we appreciate you being on. Thank you, and congrats on the tournament. One more time, tell everybody where they can find you.
They can find me on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on TikTok, on YouTube as Fluke Master. And there's a new one called Be Real that you can find me on, too.
Be Real.
I'm just playing around with it. I always try to jump on first, the new one, you know, to save my name and then kind of mess around with it to see what's going on and see whether it's worth my time. But that's where you can find me. The biggest thing is that dude, if you know anybody that wants to learn the basics and gets overwhelmed with bass fishing and all the baits and the tackle, the stuff at the tackle stores and things like that, I got a really good playlist called Just for Beginners. And you just send them there and just say, hey, watch this. I don't know how many videos it is, but watch them. And that's my pride and joy. It's one of those that has helped thousands of people learn how to fish. And it's also a good one to go get caught up with stuff you may have forgotten or take advantage, you know, take.
Yep.
Yeah. Simple Texas rig stuff, that kind of stuff. And it starts with the bare bones basics. When I make my videos, I always keep in mind a single mom standing in a tackle store, scared to death to ask Bubba to help her. And has this little boy or little girl that wants to learn how to fish. And that's who I make my videos for, yep. You know, and people who just have no clue. So I keep them bare bone basics. My God given talent is being able to talk to people and not talk down to people. You know, I just love to teach and share what I learn, because I started all this because I didn't know anything and I wanted to, you know, give me an excuse to learn stuff. And I started this because I had a bunch of Boy Scouts that wanted to learn how to fish. And YouTube was brand new. It was just a free place to put videos, and I made videos for them so they could learn. And look at it now. Good gosh. But yeah, I'm easy to find, real easy to find. And real easy, you know, if you leave me a message, I'll get to you as soon as I can. And I'm really good at answering questions and that kind of stuff. So
awesome. Well, thank you. And I personally can't tell you how many videos I've watched and how much I've learned from you. So thank you for being on show, and just thank you for the videos.
Seriously, yeah, man.
Appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it big time. I'm a big fan of Paddle and Finn. I really appreciate it. So yeah,
thank you.
Well, good luck at your next tournament, and hopefully we'll have you on again before long.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Jane.
All right, later.
All right, so let's go over his few other tournaments. We had a bunch of them. It's that time of the year. Gene also won the Dakota Lithium Power Pay as well. The Power Pay. I don't know what it is, but I like it. I meant to say that, too.
Some extra money and some,
yeah.
some good yeah. stuff like that. Yeah.
There you go.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
The Kayak Bass Fishing Tennessee, number three, they were on 7 points. That's Percy Priest in Nashville, 41 anglers, 3 fish limit. First place was Michael Ernest with 49 and a quarter. Shane McIntyre in second with 49 and a quarter. And Sean Staples in third with 47. Queen City, the biggest grassroots trail in the country. They were on Lake Hartwell in South Carolina, 148 anglers.
Wow.
4 fish limit. I love a 4 fish limit. The only people that do that too. Shetzi Hay, Shezti Heu. I'm from Mississippi, and my pronunciations are terrible. I'm sorry. First place, 78 and a quarter. Jay Park in second with 77 and a quarter. And then Chris Godwin with 74 and a quarter. And then Delaware Paddle Sports Kayak Fishing Series on the Upper Chesapeake. They were that was in conjunction with the MAKBF Massachusetts trail.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, 50 anglers, 5 fish. First place, Kenny G, 92 and three quarter. Josh Sims with 92, and then Justin Talbot with 88 and three quarter. And the same winners for both tournaments, actually. Bass Nation Kayak Series, Pennsylvania. They were on Prelesque Island Smallmouth Slam. That's in Lake Erie. Has a few different Perdes Bay, Thompson Bay, and Main Lake of Lake Erie. 2-day tournament, 25 anglers, 5 fish limit each day. Russell Johnson won that with 181 and a half.
Oh, yeah. Team JK, buddy.
Yeah, there you go. Team Jackson. Second place, Keaton Volkety with 178 and a quarter, and Tyler Rupert in third with 176 and three quarter. Now, Mountain State Kayak Anglers, they had their AEP event, and that was the American Electric Power Recreation Land, a state park, and a wildlife area. Brad Richardson first with 53 and a quarter, Jeremiah Whitlow with 53 and a quarter, and Robert Weicker, that guy, with 53 inches. He's always catching them. And Derek Miller got sixth place, but he caught 23, so that's ooh, special.
Nice consolation prize right there.
Yeah, especially in Ohio. That's
no doubt. Yeah, that's a tank in Ohio.
Yeah, that's a trip. Sure. That's like a life fish of a lifetime in Ohio.
No doubt.
Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail Tour Series on Delaware Lake, 62 anglers. Joel Now with 73.5, Sean Skidmore with 70.5, and third place Tim Crabtree Jr. with 68.75. IAC, they were on Okoboji in Iowa. I've heard that place is great. It was co-hosted by the All-American Kayak Series. And two-day tournament, 37 anglers. Dave and listening is weights for Iowa. First place, Jeremy Brandeis with 182.5. That's 92.5 plus 90. Wow. Rate for Iowa. With Ryan Thompson second with 181.25. And Jeremiah Burrish with 178.5. And All-American Kayak Series also there. Same double dip. Jeremiah, he got first. Chad Davison got second with 181.75, and Ryan Thompson with 181.25. So those two guys didn't fish the other tournament, but they did fish the All-American, or they would have won. They would have got second, third, and both. Come on, Chad, Ryan, you got double dip.
Double dip it if it's there.
Yeah,
you know, it's like all of you know the saltwater events. You got to enter all them dang side pots, man.
Yeah, win, lose, or big, or win, lose, or lose big. One of the two.
Yep. Oh yeah, for sure.
New York kayak bass fishing. They were on Atisco. There you go. In Marietta, 54 anglers. First place was Nathan Yakuzo with 99.5, and almost 100 inches in New York. Which I mean, they got good fish up there, but 99.5. Ooh, that's stout. Scott Reynolds second with 96, and third place Brandon Lewis with 95.5. So that place I need to go to Lake Francisco. Putting that on the list here. But yeah, man, good show. Really appreciate having Gene on. It was just, you know, a little bit of a fanboy moment. Getting to see it is weird seeing somebody like actually talking to somebody that you've watched so much, whether it be on TV or YouTube. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing nowadays. So.
Oh yeah, and it's like it didn't like. He's not just for beginners, because I find myself going back and revisiting stuff, you know, just like he said, stuff you might have forgotten, stuff you might have slipped your mind or hadn't used in a while. You go back and get some refreshers. But yeah, but for him to, you know, how much he's grown over the years, you know, subscriber-wise and all that stuff, his channel's grown so much. It's insane. He's done a good thing. He, you know, like you said, he does have a passion for teaching, and he does a good job at it.
Now, a lot of times I'll go back and watch his videos or Tactical Bassin or whoever it is just to see that one thing. Like, like it's a technique I don't throw very often. I don't use very often, or I haven't used, or I've never used. And I want to know the rod power, or like him, the little juice things where he's clipping off a tungsten weight and putting it in the nose of the, you know, the head of a fluke and doing that. Those little things are the things that give that bait action, or, you know, that right hook, that little bit lighter wire hook gives you a better hookup ratio. So sometimes going back and whether you think it's beginner or it's advanced or whatever it is, there's little nuggets in there that can turn a technique from a good technique to a check.
Lights
getting
out.
A check with a technique.
Yeah. Check. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure. No doubt.
But man, I appreciate it. Thank you for being on. And Jimmy will be back next week. But appreciate you being here, dude.
Yes, sir. Always glad to help out when I can. Come on.
Well, and
you know, I like to come in I like to go to the dark side to that bass stuff, too, you know.
Yeah. And where can people find you?
Oh, they can find me on the Instagram right there, Dustin Nichols VTX. I'm on Facebook. Also have a Chasing the Tide page on Facebook that y'all can check out, too, along with the Paddle and Fin. We always got some stuff going on up there on the Instagram and the Facebook page. They share our content also, and then don't hesitate to go over and listen to Chasing the Tide.
That's right.
It's more saltwater specific, but hey, everybody needs to get down to the coast every now and then. Some good stuff down there too.
That's right.
And redfish have bass tendencies also, so if you can catch bass, you can come on down and catch redfish.
Yeah. But and hey, if you have some questions about the gnar, if you can find one, holler at Dustin. He might know everything about them. So,
yes,
there you go.
I'm excited to be hitting some tournaments in that one coming up here pretty quick.
Yeah, it's funny seeing everybody's videos. Just Jake Harshman, he's got hours worth of videos now. But Matt Ball's got a bunch of great ones, a lot of great videos out there already. It's definitely like been a very very well received kayak.
Yeah, so. It's chugging along pretty good. Matt's was a great one with the big rig, and the gnar side by side comparison was definitely pretty cool. You know, I'm just excited to be part of that whole process. You know, that's one thing. Coming into kayak fishing and being a part of Jackson, I never in a million years thought I would have got, you know, asked to be on in the development process of helping with a kayak. You know, it's something that's very rewarding. It's like, wow, I got to be on a part of a team that made that awesome boat. So, you know.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's definitely something that's pretty cool.
And they should do it again. I mean, they made their best, arguably their best pedal kayak ever. I mean, I don't know if you'll ever beat like a Coosa HD or, you know, Coosa right. or some other things for the creeks. But, I mean, a pedal drive, man, that's, you know, they should definitely do it again because y'all hit a home run.
Appreciate it for sure, man.
Cool. Thanks everybody. Thanks for listening as always. And we'll see y'all again next week. Be safe and wear your PFDs. Later.
Later.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
Join Captain Justin Leake and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Oh, my God!
Every once in a while, it's fun to go, like, just full-blown redneck on these fish.
This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.